And so, after 20 years of offering stellar performances by Lehigh Valley musicians, vocal artists, theater and community personalities, it gives us all pause for realizing that this is the last production of a Lehigh Valley Christmas concert. From folk to jazz, classical to blues, the concert promises to be a great evening for the whole family. But as a tear does tumble down my cheek for the Valley's holiday classic, we salute its coordinators, sponsors, and audiences for sharing this exceptional seasonal magic. I, along with you, will miss it. After the break, we explore the many visual art styles of the upcoming Allentown Academy of the Arts Alliance 8x8 Small Works offering. The art exhibit and silent auction is an annual event and offers students community support in their endeavors, providing guest artists and enrichment experiences in the recognizing of students and teachers. Among the artists featured will be Allen High students, the teachers, the alumni of William Allen High School, and it includes many prominent artists of our region and state. Sherry Coucher, arts coordinator and Allen High School, is our guest today, along with Academy student Belle Kingsley. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1, serving the Lehigh Valley. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat now with Miriam Huertas and Mike Krasukas, producers of the 20th and the 1st through the 19th performance of a Lehigh Valley Christmas concert. Welcome, Miriam and Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have me crying now.
Yes, I had myself crying because I was a part of a lot of those. And
yes, the very
it
first,
did,
actually.
It really did bring a tear to my eye to think that this is the last one. Everybody better get there because they'll never
That's right.
It is true. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years that we've been doing this. And it's been fun. I mean, all of them. Everyone was different. But I just, it's the final.
Yes.
The grand finale.
And why? Why is this the last? The obvious question.
A lot of reasons. I think that, we originally did this, Mike and I, through Bummer Tent Records on our own. Mm-hmm. And we did 10 CDs, right,
yeah,
Mike?
We used to do CDs for the first 10 years,
which
was
right.
a very lengthy procedure. So that was, taking up. We'd start that in the summer, so
mm-hmm. So you get it all done by Christmas.
So we get it all done. So.
Actually, all done before Halloween because that's where the season works, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But over the years, we've taken on different projects. We actually had a stop back in 2006.
2006?
Yeah, 2006.
Okay.
We actually said that was it. We weren't going to do it anymore. And then in 07, I started working at the Chamber, and we brought it back in 08 and different venue. We went from the J.R. Roldale Theater with you guys as our host, and then to the Roxy Theater in 1997, then to Civic Theater for nine years.
Quite a long stint.
Yep. Yep. So we did.
And now at Symphony Hall.
We are ninth year, and it's just my workload has changed, and just different projects that take time and attention, and you can't do everything well. So if I'm not going to do it, great. I rather just bid it adieu.
So we can't talk you into just mini Christmas concerts, right?
My boss tried.
Well, it's kind of fitting, though, that it would wrap up in the heart of downtown because it's the renewed energy downtown that's part of what's making your life so busy in particular and everything hopping down there. So it's kind of wonderful.
It is wonderful. And actually, we were right down the street at the J.R. Roldale Theater to start with. So we're ending it at Miller Symphony Hall.
Yeah,
and we've come full circle. It'll be great, though. Please come. Please come, everyone.
Are there artists? I mean, there's a huge lineup here. We've got the poster here and the list. But I'm just wondering, when you say that, Mary, are there people here for this one that were there at any of the first? I mean,
I'm sure there's
new faces, but I certainly recognize
Dave
faces.
Frying, Darlene
Dave
Frying. Finelli,
oh,
Jay
yes.
Kaligas
okay.
Were all there. George Miller was there at the beginning. actually, I think Jimmy and Jerry were there when we first started.
That's what I'm saying.
So
a long time.
It's changed and it's grown, and you know, just so many different artists have come through. I did a little like one pager where I just put everyone's name, and I could barely fit it into this. We put it like an ad
in
the program book, just listing every single person who has graced the stages. So that was fun and reminiscent and tearful. You know, it's bittersweet. It really is.
I think what's wonderful too that is one of the through lines of it though has been that it's the charm is partly that it is regional. The best, particularly of our regional musicians in a great music scene, reinterpreting or giving a fresh take on what are Christmas classics, things you know and love, but they're unique and wonderful because it's being reinterpreted for us right here.
That was really the original concept of it, was exactly that. It was to focus on local musicians. Yeah. Because I always, you know, being involved in music here for so many years, I knew there was this great music scene here. So that was part of why we did it. And also just tying it in with songs that everyone would know. Yeah. That was the idea. You know, we didn't really focus on original things, which, I love songwriters and doing original things. But we kind of steered everybody towards, let's do songs that everybody knew so they could, and you do your own weird take or whatever you wanted to do with it. But.
One thing we found out is some people don't like the holidays. So they wanted to write these really morbid. You do Jingle Bells?
You'd get a few of the old Suicide at Christmas kind of songs. And it didn't fit in with our.
Well, part of the fun, too, is the pairings. There always seems to be such a sense of energy and fun on stage. And I've been lucky enough to be backstage. The backstage vibe is great because local musicians love doing this.
Yeah. It really is. Like I always say, the backstage thing is the most exciting part for the musicians. Everybody's little rehearsal rooms and people scurrying around and getting on stage at the last second kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And probably those of you who just buy tickets and come to see the show, there should be another charge to see the other show that always happens upstairs when there's food, you know, when there's artists of any kind and food. It gets quite manic, you know.
It really is.
So the musicians really love that part, but they truly do. They can't wait to get on and share their Christmas cheer with everyone one way or the other. But the food is one of the things.
Yeah, it's always lovely. This year we have a Middle Eastern cuisine that we're featuring up there through a new person that I met, Hattie Yunus, who is starting a catering firm, and he just does phenomenal food. So it's going to be fabulous. We're excited about that.
And it's a wide range. I mean, it's jazz, classical, world, folk, funk, gospel, bagpipes.
It's everything. I think for me, that's the part that I think really is just so magical. When you have like people just, and you see them talking together, and it's like, you know, a gospel person and, rocker kind of person. Yeah. You know, it's just really so cool to see that energy.
And the grand finale always kind of really is such a celebration of that.
Yeah,
we're not gonna share, right? This is
no,
surprise.
It's always kind of a surprise. Yes. I like to keep that under wraps.
One of the signatures of the concert,
but it is very fitting and very special. So it will be great.
Wonderful. The thing too that is kind of amazing is that all of these people come together. And it's very organized. It may not look at backstage when we're getting it together because you always have a band coming when there's one performing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That time you would think would be a long period in between, but it isn't. It happens like magic, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's
the thing a lot of people don't realize about this concert that have never been to it. I always equate it to like an old vaudeville show. It's just one act after another, and you guys know that. I mean, everybody does about two songs. So you just come on, and then you get the old hook, and you're off stage, and the next person's coming in from the other side. Really fun to watch, actually.
The person who gives you that hook is our stage manager, Donna Kissler,
who we could never do this without.
Donna is just phenomenal. And I would say to her, Donna, if you quit, I quit. We quit together.
And Donna's done every concert, hasn't she?
She has.
See, yeah. I thought so.
She has done every single one of them.
I guess she was at the first one, but I know everyone since then for sure. Yeah. This could not happen without her.
One of the other lovely things about that we're going to miss is it's Thanksgiving weekend. It's always the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And so much of the Christmas kind of shopping retail season kicks off after Thanksgiving. It's kind of nice to take this pause and have this kind of joyous party Christmas classes, family, and it's not a retail experience. It's a celebration.
It really is. And so for so many people, we've heard time and time again that it really just kickstarts the holidays for them. And it does for us as well. Obviously, we've been Christmasing for the last 2 months, putting it together. But it really is a very special time for us. And we're really happy to have been able to do 20 years. And we're really looking forward to this one.
I noticed, too, that this is a statistic that probably no one knows, so that when we write our little history book, Lehigh Valley Christmas Concert, out of the 20, Kate and I have not been around for all 20 because we were in Ireland for a while.
Yeah.
But 13 of them, some musician broke a string during the performance. Now, that says something, because there must be some real enthusiasm behind what's going on.
So what's the lineup for this one? Do we want to run over that? Because it's
we have, the BC
diverse
combo with, Bev Conklin, and we have Darlene Finelli, who will be performing with Mike and some other folks. And Dave Fry, can't do this without Mr. Folk himself, Dave Fry. Doug Hawk, who is with Doug Hawk Proposition, and just an amazing, amazing vocalist and songwriter. And Fusion Jazz Trio, who we've met over the years, and Vern Mobley, the drummer and leader, has been involved for, I don't even know, probably, I'm going to say, 12 or 13 of those years. Newer this year is Greg Edwards, who is a jazz saxophonist, who played with Ray Charles and, tons of other. I mean, he is really fantastic. And then you want to start with that?
Oh, James Roof Bagpipe. Yeah, that will be the start of the show, which is going to be a surprise.
There too. Yeah.
Lots of surprises.
And then Hector Rosado, Y Siete, orchestra, no, he just calls it Y Siete this year. And Jimmy Bartley and Jerry Pagese, who have been there, we think, for probably
quite some time.
About.
Gospel, beautiful. And then there's that wonderful and talented Mike Krasukas, who I cannot do this without. He wouldn't let me, so I had to get him on there.
Yeah, I had to put my name on that.
Lucky Seven. Lucky Seven is a R&B, funk dance group, and the first time that they played, what did they end up doing? Like Disco Inferno or something? Because they didn't even have any holiday tunes that they did. So kind of brought down the house with a disco tune. Jay Kaligas has been with us for a long time as well, and it's just really, it's a great, great group.
Now, tickets, it's Miller Symphony Hall again. This is Sunday. Am I getting this right? Sunday, December?
No.
November. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
November 27th at 7 p.m., Miller Symphony Hall. Tickets are available at the Symphony Hall, online at www.millersymphonyhall.org. There's a phone number, 610-432-6715. Mm-hmm. Anything else they need to know to make sure they don't miss this grand finale.
Grand finale. You could also go on on downtownallentown.com. And it's just really thank you for Kate and George for all you have ever done with us.
Thank
we really very much appreciate it.
Oh,
it's a great pleasure. And next year, of course, I'll be sitting around in November saying, now, what am I going to do? But I was very fortunate because I bought 10 of those CDs. So I'll be able to have a Christmas with you again on the years that we are not there or you are not there. But it's truly the work you've done with the musicians and working with the musicians themselves has been a great honor. I thank you much.
And creating a tradition, a real holiday homegrown tradition.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And who knows, we'll be back with something else.
Uh-oh.
Never know. We shall learn more about these exceptional events here in the Lehigh Valley and chat with Shari Coucher of Allentown Academy of the Arts Alliance right after this salient and colorful message.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1, serving the Lehigh Valley. I'm George Miller, and along with my wife, Kate, we are chatting now with some exceptional people in themselves. And that is certainly Shari Coucher, who is the arts coordinator and arts teacher at William Allen High School, and with Academy student Belle Kingsley. And we're talking about the 8x8 small works offerings. How are you guys?
Great, great.
Good. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're quite welcome. We are very excited about this year's 8x8, and it's small works as well. So when we say 8x8, it's not the size of a lumber piece. It's a size of an actual canvas, 8 inches by 8 inches. And it has been very successful over the last 4 years. It's the fifth year, is it?
Fifth or sixth year.
I've been highly successful with the students themselves participating, and of course the teachers, the alumni, and some very prominent artists within our area.
That's correct.
Shari, can you tell us just briefly about the Allentown Academy of the Arts, about that and the alliance that connected itself to it?
Okay, thank you. The Art Academy at Allen started in 1994, and it was a group of teachers and artists that decided to link together theater, visual arts, music, and theater, and then added the dance element. They also brought in local community leaders, artists, supporters of William Allen High School, and they formed the Alliance. So they're the outside board members that came to support the Academy. So over the years, students were allowed to concentrate in those areas, and it's been growing and growing in many different ways. For today, for this 8x8 event, the Art Academy students are sponsoring and helping out with creating artwork and getting local artists to donate and alumni. Mm-hmm. And from the proceeds from this event, this art auction, we are aiming to match a Trexler grant to provide more musical instruments for our growing orchestra and band, because the more students we have, it's hard to catch up with repairs and replacing instruments. So we're trying to help that endeavor this year for the Art Academy.
Great.
It's just like a fun way to like raise money rather than just asking for money or just doing like any other bake sale. It's more fun and it attracts more artists. Mm-hmm. And I think kids enjoy it way more than anything else.
Yes, tell us a little bit about that, Belle. The students there at William Allen High School, at the academy itself. There's great enthusiasm, I know, in the art department, in the visual art department. How about the other areas in music and theater? They're involved in this as well, I understand.
They encourage it. They're more of what they're doing. If you're in dance, like they do more dance, but like all of the visual artists that are in the Arts Academy, they're the ones that are doing most of the 8x8s, and they really enjoy it because, I mean, it's the fact that somebody is buying their own work, I think, really encourages them and boosts their confidence up to know that somebody actually was interested in their little 8x8s and everything.
Very good. I know that this is not only an art exhibit, but it's also a silent auction. So that we're purchasing, you may purchase some of these, all of the paintings, actually.
Everything will be there. And it's not specifically just paintings. We have 3D artists like John Roylance, a ceramicist and a teacher at William Allen High School, has these wonderful raku pots that he makes. So his work will fit within an 8x8 circumference somewhat. Former students who were in our ceramic programs have donated ceramic pieces that they've created now at the college level. And of advance, so they've sent work in from West Virginia to be part of it as well. And there's going to be other work too, where one of our art teachers, he does more of a sports sort of illustration, and he did a painting of Hall of Famer Andre Reed. So this is a print of that painting, but he actually had the Hall of Famer Andre Reed sign it. So Bob McFetterich is going to be doing that with the signature and the photo of him signing it.
Very nice.
Yes. So, and also just to get back to the Academy, during this event, there's going to be small ensembles playing in the space from our students. Mm-hmm. So different areas throughout this auction, you can hear our
from
students.
The music department. Mm-hmm, right.
From the I was going to say, for someone that's new to the event, if we could paint a picture for them, because what's lovely is as you said, well, it's not the typical bake sale. It's a much more enjoyable way to raise some funds, but also to showcase the work and to showcase the reason for the Academy. Mm-hmm. So this is this year in a really interesting location, right?
Yes, that's correct. It's going to be at the new Butts Corporate Center, which is at 842 Hamilton Street in Allentown, PA. The space is going to be on the eighth floor, the top floor, and it's not been renovated into smaller compartments. It's a wide open space with windows that show 360 around the Lehigh Valley, and it's just going to be a gorgeous location to have this event with music and food and local artists such as Lee Butts himself, John Gatos, David Lee, Claudia McGill, Dana Van Horn, Cynthia Roth, Hub Wilson, John Roylance, and more are coming in every day. They're dropping off work to be part of this event and contribute to the community.
And it's a Sunday afternoon. It's 4 day, which is wonderful because it's convenient for people, but the views will be gorgeous.
Right. It's 1 to 4.
One to four.
It starts at 1 to 4. There'll be some foods. If mm-hmm. everyone's a little hungry, you can enjoy it too. And, you know, the sun's setting too, closer to the end. Yeah. But most of the bidding for the auction will probably stop around 3:30, I'm assuming. Okay. So. And it's silent. So.
And, of course, we must mention to you that no one's been in that specific space. Probably before, because it still has that industrial look.
Exactly.
So that this is the first time you're going to be able to get to the eighth floor at the new Butts building.
And it's free parking on a first come first serve, which is something people might want to know too as well.
Get there early
down there.
Yeah, get there early. But you should get there early for the purchase of the first eight by eights, especially.
Right. There'll be like a minimum bid, and then there'll be certain. For more well-known artists, buy it now at a certain higher price. And if you really are interested in someone's artwork, I suggest you go right for it right away.
Right away.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't wait.
That's exactly.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of donations this year? Do you think?
We have probably over 50 artists that have donated, and alumni, and teachers, and so there should be quite a variety. I know that the Lehigh Valley Printers Association Society have dropped off a box with some work in it as well. So, and Joan Gatos has been collecting work too.
Yes, we want to mention Joan because she was one of the people in the very beginning, along with Steve Hatzey, who is no longer in the area, who promoted the Arts Alliance itself.
And the Academy.
And the Academy, yes. And she is the one, she's a retired teacher, art teacher, of course, and very well known. In the visual arts in the area, along with Kathy
Alvaro.
Alvaro, who was also a retired art teacher.
Exactly.
And she's now president of the advisory board. So all of these people with giving all of their expertise mm-hmm. into how these things run and how smoothly it runs is amazing.
And we're grateful for the board to come out and help with the running of the whole art auction on this Sunday, November 20th, mm-hmm. from 1 to 4, mm-hmm. too. So we appreciate mm-hmm. their time, both on the board.
Let me ask you, Sherry, in the art that you do in class, you have your lesson plans and you know what you're teaching, but what do you personally, what style of painting or visual art do you like best?
I love plein air painting myself. That's what I enjoy mm-hmm. the best. But as a teacher, that's kind of on a limited time basis. So I do quite a bit of printmaking. Right now I'm into relief printmaking.
Printmaking. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. How about you, Belle?
I'm really into pen and ink. I really like the permanent feel of all the art. I really like it. So I really like etching. We're doing that right now. Uh-huh. In my sketchbook, there's like nothing but pen and ink drawings.
So can you tell us a little teaser about the piece that you have presented for 8x8?
Well, I didn't do a pen and ink one for this one, but I did an acrylic and a petite. Ooh. And so far, I think they're like my top five favorite things to do. Honestly, I always done acrylic, and I just started petite now, and petite is something that I really enjoy now.
Petite, can you just give me a brief summary of what that?
It's dip dyeing and like waxing. Yeah. It's a lot of waxing. It's like very time consuming if you're getting a lot of detail. It's tedious. And
and there's a hot wax tool called Jaunting Tool that you have to have a lot of control, but you can get these great flowing lines. Yeah. And Belle has mastered an impossible tool, the Jaunting Tool. She has a great flow on her lines.
Thank you.
So just to point out, her work that will be on exhibit will be of a kind of, is it a skyline of Allentown?
Yeah. It's like a little skyline.
Great. Well, we encourage everybody to get to the 8x8 Small Works Art Exhibit and Silent Auction Sunday, November the 20th from 1 to 4 at the Butch Corporate Center, the new building on the 8th floor. That's 842 Hamilton Street in Allentown. Please be there. We want you to see the great art that's being done in the Valley, and you can even support it by purchasing some of those pieces. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Want to say special thanks, too, to Steve Aronson, our technical engineer, for his exhibiting his own style of art on the soundboard. Great blues he has, great blues, and really green folk music. So, Steve, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
Director Nate Parker, in his theatrical feature film directorial debut, could not have chosen a more audacious title, The Birth of a Nation, intentionally referencing producer-director D.W. Griffith's The Birth of a Nation, which purported to tell the story of the United States Civil War and the Reconstruction era that followed. The 1915 silent film epic by Griffith is credited with the birth of a revived Ku Klux Klan. Director Nate Parker's 2016 Birth of a Nation recounts the story of Nat Turner, portrayed by Nate Parker, who led what is said to be the deadliest slave rebellion in U.S. history. In 48 hours in August 1831, Nat Turner and some 75 slaves killed an estimated 65 whites in Southampton, Virginia. The slaves who rebelled were killed in a massacre at Jerusalem, Virginia, or hung there 6 weeks later when caught, including Nat Turner. Some 200 additional blacks were killed in the aftermath, and Southern slavery policies were tightened. Director Nate Parker's Birth of a Nation is one of 2016's most powerful films and deserves to be seen. It follows in the wake of 12 Years a Slave, released in 2012, which received 3 Oscars and 9 Oscar nominations, and Free State of Jones, released in 2016. Director Nate Parker, who has acted in numerous feature films, directs from a screenplay he wrote based on a story he co-wrote with Jean Magania Celestin. Nat Turner is depicted fairly accurately, it seems, from most historic accounts, as a bright, precocious, Bible-knowledgeable youth and preacher, dubbed the Prophet, who becomes increasingly preoccupied with visions, signs from God, and the atrocious mistreatment of slaves by plantation owners, Samuel Turner, portrayed by Armie Hammer, and his wife Elizabeth, portrayed by Penelope Ann Miller, and employees of the plantation, Raymond Cobb, portrayed by Jackie Earle Haley. When Nat Turner's slave wife, Cherry, played by Asia Naomi King, is violated by the slave masters, Nat Turner is convinced that he must mount a rebellion against the white slaveholders. Director Nate Parker's The Birth of a Nation is a visceral cinematic experience. There are many disturbing moments of cruelty and violence fomented on the black slaves. The violence in the rebellion and its defeat is also extremely squirm-inducing. Director Nate Parker's The Birth of a Nation is devastatingly powerful cinema. The Birth of a Nation is MPAA rated R for disturbing violent content and some brief nudity. Opening November 11 are Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. Ang Lee directs Kristen Stewart, Vin Diesel, Garrett Hedlund, and Steve Martin in the war drama about a 19-year-old recounting his service in the war in Iraq. Arrival. Denis Villeneuve directs Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, Forrest Whitaker, and Michael Stuhlbarg in the sci-fi film about a linguist who assists the military to translate alien communications. Shut-In. Farron Blackburn directs Naomi Watts, Charlie Heaton, Jacob Tremblay, and Oliver Platt in the thriller about a widowed child psychologist in rural New England who rescues a boy during a deadly winter storm. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press, at the movies for WDIY.
This is WDIY.